From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, Judgment According to Truth. The text is Romans chapter 2, verse 2, where we read, But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is explaining the development of this truth about God's judgment. Like the Jews of old, many people will agree that there is such a thing as God's judgment upon sin. The problem is they don't want to admit that this judgment will fall upon their sin. But God is holy, and He must and will judge sin. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Plentiful Refreshment. The text is Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 12. Their soul shall be as a watered garden. Oh, to have one's soul under heavenly cultivation, no longer a wilderness, but a garden of the Lord, enclosed from the waste, walled around by grace, planted by instruction, visited by love, weeded by heavenly discipline, and guarded by divine power. One's favored soul is prepared to yield fruit unto the Lord. But a garden may become parched for want of water, and then all its herbs decline and are ready to die. O my soul, how soon will this be the case, were the Lord to leave thee? In the east, a garden without water soon ceases to be a garden at all. Nothing can come to perfection, grow, or even live. When irrigation is kept up, the result is charming. Oh, to have one's soul watered by the Holy Spirit uniformly, every part of the garden having its own stream. Plentifully, a sufficient refreshment coming to every tree and herb, however thirsty by nature it may be. Continually, each hour bringing not only its heat, but its refreshment. Wisely, each plant receiving just what it needs. In a garden, you can see by the verdure where the water flows, and you can soon perceive when the Spirit of God comes. O Lord, water me this day, and cause me to yield thee a full reward for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Land refreshing, let thy blessing.
Over the years that Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many folks have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now, for a limited time, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of the CD, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. But don't delay. The supply is limited. Call or write for your copy today.
Paul climaxed his judgment of the Gentiles in this, even by the light of nature. They know God's judgment against people who sin the way they sin. They know that. And despite that, they continue sinning and find their pleasure and give in and give their approval to those who are sinning with them. But what happens when you turn to the Jew? The Jew knows better than anybody that people who live the way he lives is under the judgment of God. And yet he continues in that way, and he takes pleasure in those who do the same, and he gives his approval to those who do the same, and indeed he heaps his scorn upon people like the apostle who would dare to oppose him. So Paul says to the Jew, you judge the Gentile, but you're a hypocrite. And I'm here to declare to you the judgment of God. Now he goes on to develop that message in verse 6 and following. Remember the basic outline I gave you of this whole section of Romans. It starts in chapter 2, verse 1, and goes through to chapter 3, verse 8. Remember the simple outline in chapter 2, the first 5 verses. You have the truth of God's righteous judgment declared. In verse 6 through to verse 29 of chapter 2, you have that truth further developed. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, you have the truth of the righteous judgment of God defended against the caviling of a Jewish objector. Now, we're dealing with the second of those points, the truth of God's righteous judgment developed. At least our main emphasis is going to be on verse 6 and onwards. But remember what I said, there's a couple of references here that point us back into the first 5 verses. When you look at verse 6 and onwards, you find that the great theme is, and you must understand this if you're going to make anything of this chapter, otherwise it will appear to be jumping here and there and bringing in this thought and the other thought. There's a theme running through it. And the theme that Paul is developing is very simply the principles of the divine judgment, the standards of God's judgment. And you'll find that God's judgment stands on 5 great pillars. Throughout this passage you'll find, he says, and this is where we go back, verse 2, it's according to truth. In verse 5, he calls it God's righteous judgment. It's according to righteousness. Verses 7 through 10, it's according to works. Verses 11 through 15, it's according to light. And then verse 16 to the end of the chapter, it is according to the gospel. Now you'll see why I thought if we did all that in one night, it would be a little difficult to finish it before you got to pensionable age. So we're taking, first of all, God's judgment according to truth. Now, notice what it says at the beginning of verse 2. We are sure. It simply says we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. We know. It's a very important statement. Because let us understand this, whether you're talking to Jews or Gentiles, God has written this truth upon the hearts of men. We call it conscience. Conscience, the scripture describes as the candle of the Lord. It searches out by applying light in the darkest recesses of the human soul. And it tells us that God is a God who judges sin. We know that the judgment of God is according to truth. Truth written in our hearts. We can't escape His judgment. We know that. And yet Paul's way of expressing this is rather interesting. Actually what he says is, we see. The verb that he uses is a verb that means we see or we know. But it's knowing in a particular way. There is a word that he could use that would simply mean we know, but it could, if not always, it could carry the connotation that there he was establishing a relation between the knowing one and what he knows. Let me give you an example. When he says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." When he says, "We know that," the word that he uses carries with it the idea that there is a relationship between you as the one who's knowing and the grace as the object of that knowledge. In other words, you know it, but there is an experience, a link of experience between you. Similarly, in Galatians 4 in verse 9, when he says, "You have known God," he's using the same term, "you have known God." And he's not saying that you have the bare knowledge that there is a God, but you have known God in relationship. That's one word that he could use, and it would be in English, "we know." The other word does not carry that connotation, even though it may at a time speak of things when you'd say the speaker has such a relationship, such an experience. Yet all he's saying is, no, we see. We acknowledge. We have the bare perception. And I think that Paul is using this here deliberately. Men acknowledge God is a God who judges sin. But then they proceed to insulate themselves against the very truth that they acknowledge, because they do not make the next step of making the connection, the relationship in which they stand to the judgment of God. You'll get many people who say, "Oh yes, there is such a thing as right and wrong. There is such a thing as the judgment of God." And then they step back from that, insulating themselves from the power of what they have just admitted. Not recognizing this is not God's judgment on sin in the abstract. This is God's judgment on sinners. This is not just God's judgment on sinners as a whole. This is God's judgment on me. This is where I stand individually, cut off from every source of help or every place of hiding. This is where I stand face to face with God, my judge. Ah, how slow men are to admit that. That's an uncomfortable acknowledgement to make. That would destroy the sleep of death that men sleep in their sin and in their wickedness. That would stir their conscience in a way that would make life unpleasant. So they step back and actually hide behind the truth in order to escape from it, acknowledging it as a bare fact, without letting it have an impact upon their own heart and their own conscience. And yet, you know what Paul is talking about here is something to take to heart. What we're dealing with in the book of Romans, and you'll find this all the way through this book, what we're dealing with is not a matter of theory. It's not a matter of philosophy. It's not even a matter of mere theology. It is not a matter that you can discuss with your head or with your brain while it doesn't impact your life. If we know that the judgment of God is according to truth, then we'd better sit up and take notice, for that judgment touches you just as much as it touched the Jew that whom Paul was addressing. The term "the judgment of God" is, I think, unique to Paul here in the New Testament. The theme is not, but the term. The word "judgment" does not mean a court in session. It does not mean the process by which God arrives at a conclusion. It does not mean a trial. Let's understand that. He's not talking about a trial. Let me make this clear to you. The trial has already taken place. God doesn't need a trial to conclude that you and I are sinners. That trial is over. The word that is used here is a word that means the judicial decision. That's what it is. We may say indeed that this is the judge handing down the sentence that he passes on to men, and that's something that truly concerns us all. Now, remember what I said. He bases this on these five great pillars, as I've called them, and the first of them is truth. But what does it mean the judgment of God is according to truth? If the verdict of God stands on truth, what is truth? Now, I'm not going to deal with that in any deep philosophical way. That is one of the greatest questions ever asked. What is truth? I'm very tempted, for I have sat in my study for long periods of time pondering that very thing. What is truth? It's not facts. Truth's a whole lot more than a body of facts. I better watch myself, otherwise I'll never get back to where I should be. But let me tell you, the key to the answer is Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the truth. And apart from God, there is no truth. Truth is something that undergirds fact. Truth is that which makes fact to be factual. Truth is that which gives meaning to all the body of facts in this universe. Truth is not only the fact, but the interpretation of it, the meaning of it, and it's all rooted in our God. What is truth? God is true. And if that makes every man and his theory a liar, then so be it. I was reading a liberal writing in yesterday's newspaper about the leader of the Congress, the House of Representatives, and he is an extremist of the worst order. Now, let me say, I don't know the man. I don't endorse him. I don't attack him. I have to say that concerning him and his views, I am largely in ignorance. And I'm not going to worry too much about that. But I was interested to notice that he was an extremist for various reasons. He was right out there. Well, she would say in right field, but she meant in left field, if you know what I mean. She was saying he was the worst of the worst. Why? Because he didn't believe in evolution. That's where we've got to. Well, if I have to say for God to be true, let Charles Darwin and all his brood be liars, then hallelujah, let God be true and Darwin, etc. be liars. What is truth? Jesus says, I am the truth. While that doesn't mean to say that Jesus teaches you higher math, he definitely didn't teach me higher math. In fact, he taught me just enough to get through the lowest of the lowest math. But while that doesn't mean he teaches you all these scientific disciplines, yet it does mean to say, whatever your discipline, if your conclusions lead you into contradiction with Christ, your conclusion is a lie. He's the truth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.